And I'm going to be having a chat now with my new friend, Stephen Walton, who should be on the phone. Stephen, are you there, sir?
Hello.
And I am delighted to be having a chat to you and speaking to you in Leicester this morning.
Yes, a little while away from Cardiff.
You are. But you have that Cardiff connection, which, of course, is our friends at Candy Jar. And delighted to hear about the book that you have written called The Mystery of Lucy Wilson, Apocalypse Tomorrow. So we'll talk about that now in a few moments' time. And also some of the Christmas stories, Lucy Wilson stories that you've done. But first up, Stephen, give our lovely listeners a little bit of a potted biography, if you would, please, about your good self and how it's brought you to be on the show here this morning.
I've wanted to be a writer for quite a while. I did a Lethbridge Stewart short story a couple of years ago, which mm-hmm. put me in touch with Candy Jar.
Yes.
And basically it's just gone from there, and it's accumulated in the Lucy Wilson book that came out a few weeks ago.
Well, I mean, that's as good a place to start as any. Obviously, Candy Jar have a very good tie-in with the whole sort of Doctor Who genre, don't they? And the Lucy Wilson series is a really interesting spin-off. So tell us, if you would, then, a little bit about who Lucy Wilson is for those listeners who maybe are not aficionados of Doctor Who, and the series of books that have been running now for some time, and now this one that you're involved with.
Basically, in the 70s and late 60s, there was a friend of the Doctor's called Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And Lethbridge Stewart's granddaughter is Lucy Wilson.
Okay.
And Lucy Wilson is trying to defend the Earth from alien attacks.
Right. And it's, you know, I mean, for a young girl, I mean, it's a fair bit of work, but obviously suspension of disbelief and all that sort of stuff, it works. And she's become a very, very popular character, hasn't she?
She has, yeah. And it's been, I mean, the book I've written, Apocalypse Tomorrow, although has been in the works for about two and a bit years.
Yep.
Lucy Wilson's been going on for a little bit longer than that. I believe the first one was 2017.
Right, yeah.
And I think it's built up from popularity from there.
And, of course, because it is a female heroine, it's yes. the right thing to do, isn't it? I mean, it gives gives all the youngsters that feeling that, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl, whatever, you know, you can still be a hero.
Yeah, and one of the good things that I like about the Lucy Wilson series is it's very inclusive, but it's not lecturing.
Well, no, that's important. That is important because we do live in a world, truth be told, where occasionally you can feel that people are lecturing at you a little bit. But, I mean, obviously with escapism, books like this, particularly for the younger readers, I mean, people just want to have a bit of fun, don't they? They want to absolutely be transported into another world.
Yeah, and with mine, The Apocalypse Tomorrow, it's basically just about having fun and being scared.
Well, there
I really
we are.
Hope that anyone who's read it did get a little scared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, people like to be scared a little bit, don't they?
Yeah.
They certainly do. So, how did the tie-in come about? First up, with Candy Jar and the team who look after things here in Cardiff. Given that you're living over in Leicester, as I've already mentioned to our lovely listeners, so how did you come to their attention?
So a number of years ago now, I picked up the first few Lethbridge Stewart books and I basically looked up the details. I was enjoying them, looked up the publisher details.
Right.
Went online and shamelessly begged to write a story.
And that often can work, can't it? I mean, joking apart, why not? Yeah. I mean, if it's something you really, really want to do, you've got to be a bit proactive, haven't you?
Yeah, so I started, I did a short story for Christmas with Lethbridge Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the back of that, I did a bit of looking at myself as well and what I would like to write.
Yes.
And I'd like to have written for a younger audience.
Okay.
And that's when Andy, who's the editor of the Lethbridge Stewart range, put me in touch with Sean.
Right, yes, yes.
And I sent a pitch through to Sean, and he was like, right, I've got this kind of trilogy of books that are coming out, so would you like to do that?
It can be as easy as that, can't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean, everyone's just been so lovely as well, especially for someone like me who's not really had that much experience out in the publishing world. It's just been lovely to have them.
Basically. No, absolutely. I mean, it's a great opportunity, isn't it, for a new, relatively inexperienced writer to be able to get the chance to jump on to, I mean, can we call it a bandwagon in a way? I suppose we can. You know, something that's already established and gives you the chance then to work and write about established characters. And obviously, in the world of science fiction, I mean, really, anything is possible, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, for those who may have seen the cover of my book, you'll see a giant spider looming over
right.
characters.
Yes.
So if you do have a bit of a fear of spiders, then maybe...
You need to watch
maybe
out.
Maybe don't read this in the dark.
Well, fair enough. No, that's good advice. Good fair advice. tell us a little bit about Lucy Wilson herself. A feisty character, you know, what are some of the traits, positives and indeed even maybe negatives that she brings to every adventure?
So what I really liked when I read the first few Lucy Wilson books was that she wasn't unbelievable. It wasn't that she was over-intelligent. It wasn't that she was, you know, like a superhero kind
of
person.
No, absolutely.
She was just an average girl.
Yeah.
And she had the same issues as what I would have had at that age. So homework, not getting on with teachers.
Yeah.
I didn't play on my phone. I didn't have a phone.
Right,
going
okay.
Going back a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. So I enjoyed just the normality of her and the fact that, especially in... the Christmas stories that I've written, I can start looking at just some of the conversations that she has with her parents, with her friends.
Yes.
And it's really nice to have something that can be related to the reader.
Understood.
Or the writer, in my case.
Yeah, yeah. No, understood. So tell us a little bit, without giving too much of the story away then, but just tease us a little bit, if you will, about Apocalypse Tomorrow.
So, as I mentioned, there are giant spiders.
Yeah.
We actually visit Lucy in almost four different places in this story. So it's very, very quick, very fast paced.
Yes.
We start off in the 80s, which is where the previous book left us.
Okay.
And we move to an apocalyptic 2020.
Right.
People still wear masks in 2020.
Yes, yes.
Because that will never change.
No.
But then she has to go back to the 1990s to try and save the day, basically, to stop the apocalypse.
I see. So, okay, it's the third part of the Lucy Wilson trilogy. And clearly, if people are able to do their sums, they'll work out that it's the final book in this particular tale. But of course, Lucy Wilson doesn't stop there for you, because you've also written 12 short stories featuring Lucy, which are now going to be available for free for people on this run up to Christmas starting from tomorrow. So give us a little flavour of some of the sort of escapades and adventures Lucy's getting involved in on the run up to Christmas.
Well, the overall idea behind the stories was the 12 days of Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
And each story is loosely linked to each verse, basically.
Okay, yeah,
so the first
good idea.
One,
yeah.
12 drummers drumming.
Mm-hmm.
Each story is slightly different. So the first one is very intense, shall we say. And it goes from there. But we have, there's stories where there are kind of monsters in the pipes.
Right.
There are stories where Lucy and her mum are attacked by Christmas dinner. But there's also a story where Lucy has to get letters to the soldiers in the trenches in World War One.
Right.
So everything's very much, each day a different story is going to be released, and each day is going to be something different.
Well, it's a clever idea.
Thank you. It's just a way of saying thank you, basically, to those Lucy Wilson fans out there.
Yes.
And it's my way of also saying thank you, as well as candy jars. If you've not already read any Lucy Wilson books, and it's a good starting point to get in. Each story is kind of linked to Lucy with a different character.
I guess that's true, isn't it? For dipping your toe in the water of the world of Lucy Wilson, what a great opportunity, not costing people anything. And just really neat as well for the youngsters. To be able to sort of say, well, look, you know, they're there to listen pretty much at any time. But obviously, if you really, really are keen, then, yeah, every day there's a fresh one there. And I guess once kids and, as we said, young adults and what have you have all started and got hooked, then they'll just be waiting for the following day, won't they?
Yeah, anything to count down to those days to Christmas.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you must obviously feel very pleased, and indeed probably very privileged to be involved with such a wonderful brand, as it were.
Yeah.
And clearly gives you a lot of scope for the future.
As I say, everyone there has just been absolutely amazing with their advice and their support and their help, and it's really made me excited, not only just to kind of kickstart my writing career, fingers crossed, but also to work with Candy Jar, because as I say, they're just lovely people.
Oh no, absolutely. There's truth in those sentiments that everybody is genuinely very, very supportive, and I can speak from personal experience with that too. So where does 2024 take you then, do you think, as a writer, either with Candy Jar or you know, with other projects? I mean, what do you see the next 12 months holding for you, Stephen?
Well, I hope to do more Lucy Wilson.
Yes.
So if anyone at Candy Jar's listening.
Right. I'm sure they will be.
You have my number.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be.
Because I've just really enjoyed writing those, really. And that would be my main achievement for next year. But
okay.
I'd also like to write something of my own.
Yes. Yeah. What do your interests hold for you? I mean, are there any areas particularly that you have a great interest in that you think, yep, there's a book there to be written?
I really enjoy the sci-fi element. I'm not too much into deep sci-fi, but I'm very much into, this is about space and time. This is about aliens.
Yeah.
And and writing for a younger audience is fun because it's the jokes that you can put in, it's the dad jokes. I'd like to continue writing for a younger audience, and as I say, I do have an idea that I'd like to take forward.
Okay.
And I mean, my name all over.
Well, it will be good to look out for you, Stephen. And I mean, the thing is, you can't underestimate, in a way, though, how tricky probably at times it is to write for younger audiences, because as we've just said, you know, you've got to get what they think, haven't you? You've got to understand the way they see the world. And I mean, it is a very different world through a youngster's pair of eyes than those which you may have, or indeed which I would have.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I was writing Apocalypse Tomorrow and these other short stories, I never kind of thought anything specific about writing for a younger audience. There
were
certain things that I wouldn't put in there, so I wouldn't put gore.
Right, no.
Or
no.
Swear words.
No, of course.
So there's that. But because sometimes when I've I just remember when I was that age being kind of frustrated with the books that were written for my age,
mm-hmm.
because I always felt that they were being spoken down to me.
Yeah, no, so I can understand that.
I hope that when someone picks up any of the books, whether it's the three short stories or the Apocalypse Tomorrow or anything in the range,
yeah,
that when they read it, it's a case of we're talking with you.
Right.
We're not talking at you or down to you. Because, you know, at that age, I knew certain things, and it's like, well, why not just hint?
No, so, these are wise words, wise words. I think, as you say, then you obviously get the youngsters on board. Clearly, you want to infuse them, don't you, about the series and maybe then to make them a little bit inquisitive to go and revisit some of the other stuff that's been done in the past or discover it for the first time. Because, I mean, that is the wonderful thing about the whole sort of Doctor Who genre that, as we've mentioned, of course, 60 years this year, the anniversary, which clearly most people will have spotted by now, even if they're not particularly fans of the series. But it is something that we've grown up with, and there is lots and lots of areas that people can go off and discover. And certainly these various spin-offs as well add a whole dimension to it as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, with the actual series, we all have our favourite eras and things like that.
Of course.
But with the Doctor Who as a show, it's more than just a TV programme. It is, there are books about characters, there are audio, and sometimes if the main show isn't quite your thing, it doesn't mean that the books, the audios, the comics, the magazine.
Yes, yes, yeah. No, I mean,
so
that's
such a broad...
That is a very fair point, isn't it? That it's a broad church, and certainly if you've got your sort of favourite era, which most people will say they do have, inevitably it's a lot of time and place, isn't it, with most things. Yeah. But yeah, you can still go back and rediscover things and sort of then read, or as you say, indeed, have sort of audio descriptions and so on of stories that still involve the characters that you remember who maybe are from quite a long time ago.
Yeah, and I think that's why when the Lethbridge Stewart range came along and then later Lucy Wilson, I was so latched to it.
I see, yeah.
Because it was from my favourite era, which actually was about 20, 30 years before I was born.
Oh, well, there you are. So true. I mean, everybody, absolutely everybody has got their favourite Doctor, and as you say, that sort of favourite period of the storyline. So now, if people want to find out more about you as a writer, Stephen, have you been able to get yourself a website up and running yet, or Facebook pages, or any other sort of social media aspects?
Well, on social media, it's on Threads.
Right.
Which is at stephen.d.walton.
Okay.
I also do a podcast as well, not about Doctor Who.
Right.
It's about Disney, another love of mine.
Okay.
And I do that with a friend, and that's at The Jamie and Stephen Show. And they're both on Threads.
Excellent.
So if anyone wants to give me a follow, then that's where you'll find me.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning to chat about Lucy Wilson. No, it's been great fun having you involved with the programme, Stephen. Hopefully we can talk again in the new year at some time when we know a little bit more about some of the other stuff that maybe you're going to be involved with. But now that you're a friend of the programme, we would be delighted to have you on the show at any time. So let me say Merry Christmas, because it's
Merry
only
Christmas
the right thing to do. Have a peaceful and happy Christmas and New Year. And as I say, look forward to having a chat again sometime in the new year.
And you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you so much.